I want to talk this morning about Christian metamorphosis. We are going through life day in and day out, changing as we go along. You cannot help but change every single day of life. Life changes us. It's just the way it happens. And some people don't like change. They want to stay the way they've always been. And unfortunately, that's not what God wants for our lives. He wants to change us into the likeness of Christ so that we reflect the true righteousness and holiness of God. Now, we've seen these commercials on television that promote ways to create the new you. You know, these commercials that show us makeup, clothing, hair, different hair designs, and weight loss. You know, and they say, you try these things, try their product, and you'll have the new you. It'll create the new you. It'll change you, and you'll be the new you. And it shows people really happy. But you see, these things are all superficial, and they don't have a lasting effect because underneath, you're still the same old you. And though we appear to be different, we're still the same person because who we are comes from inside. Therefore, for real, honest, genuine change, the change has to be deeper inside. As Jesus said, it's what comes out of a person that really matters, see? There has to be an inside, an inner change. Calling the hypocrites, the Pharisees hypocrites, in the same scripture in Mark 7, Jesus said that these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from them. In other words, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And the reason they don't walk the walk is because they're not changed inside. So Jesus emphasized that the inner you is more important than the outer you, because the inner you is what drives you as a person, especially when it comes to one's mind and their thinking. We always have to be changing the way we see things and think about things. If we don't, we're going to be stuck in a rut, and life's going to keep continuing to go on, and we're going to be able to see less and less of God and less of his will, unless we're constantly allowing the Holy Spirit to change our thinking and change our minds. You see, when we get to the point where we think we know it all, or we think that we're the expert, or we think we know all there is to know about a certain thing, we're in very dangerous ground, very dangerous territory at that point. I think of all that I've learned in the last 16 years of going to school is that the more I learn, the more I learn that I don't know anything, that there's so much more to learn in life. And I guess that's part of the learning process and the metamorphosis in my own personal life. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, if anyone's in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. What Paul was saying, anyone who becomes a follower of Jesus Christ is no longer the same old person. That old person is dead, gone. There's a new person, a new creation. The new has come. In other words, the new you, right? In Christ Jesus. It's like Jesus was telling Nicodemus, we're born of water and the Spirit. The old is dead. We're reborn or born again as a new creation in Christ Jesus. So if we're born again, if we're new creations in Christ Jesus, it's most important that our minds think differently, because as a result, we'll start to act differently. A lot of people today calling themselves Christians, and they're not acting any differently than the rest of the world. And this was a problem in Paul's day that Paul spoke about, and he wrote about all through the New Testament, about the importance of thinking with the mind of Christ, and thinking properly, not as the Gentiles. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding, and they're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And this is what takes place with oftentimes with people. They harden their hearts. They don't want to learn anymore. They're happy with who they are. They don't want to learn, and they become stagnant and hardened. And all of a sudden, the world around them is changing, and their thinking becomes basically worthless. Because of the hardening of their hearts. The hardening of their hearts comes when they refuse to accept what God has to teach them. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. And you were taught to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul wrote a lot about this kind of stuff in the New Testament, about the way Christians should think about things, the way we should not just accept what comes to us and instantly react on it, but that we should stop and think about it and ponder it, read God's word and pray about it, and think about things as things develop. I will be honest, I'm a slow thinker. I'm slow to get things. My kids aren't that way. They live in a different time and with things different as they were when I was growing up, and they get it just like this, you see. And one day, Jason came to me, and he couldn't figure out how to get his phone to print from our printer in the office at our home. And he had tried and he had tried and he had tried, and he's blipping around on his phone, he's blipping around, and I said, "You're gone too fast for me." I said, "You need to give me time to think about this." I said, "Let me think about it a while, and I'll get back to you." I'm not sure if it was later that day or even the next day. I spent a day at least thinking about how could we get around something. You know, on a computer, there's always a way to get to where you want to go and to do what you want to do. And I thought about it, and finally, I think it was the next day, I said, "Hey, Jay, come here." He came into the office, and I said, "See if you can print to the computer." He tried it and it worked. He said, "Wow, Dad," he said, "you're smarter than I thought." And I said, "No, Jason, it's not about that. It's not about smartness and intelligence. It's about taking your time and thinking through what's going on." Friday, we had the computer, the printer repairman down in the church office. The copier there is supposed to be able to scan a document and email it to someone's phone, but the address for that phone or to their email has to be programmed into the copier. It's also supposed to be able to scan a copy of something and send it to the computer. So all of a sudden, some things had changed earlier this year, I believe it was, and the copier would no longer do that. So we had the repairman there this past week, and he was reprogramming things from the computer, and he was putting email addresses into the printer so the printer could communicate with people's emails and send emails out as you scan documents. He also put the information for the computer into the printer. Fine, that only took him a little while to fix the copier and to do all that an hour. It took him an hour. He kept trying to program emails into the printer and the copier stuff into the printer. So he would go over to the printer and push on the button that said address book, and it would bring up two email addresses, but it would not bring up the computer from the desk. For an hour, he kept trying to program the desk computer into that copier so the copier could scan something and send it back to the computer, and he couldn't do it. You know why he couldn't do it? Because addresses are email addresses, and another button that said STP computer, when you pressed on that, it showed the computer had been programmed in. It was all about communication. It took him an hour, and he and I both sitting there thinking about this, and I don't understand technology that much. But once we stop to think about it, we realize that email addresses are email addresses, and the computer is a totally different thing, and it was programmed in a totally different place. But we had to think through that process, you see. And that was a problem in Paul's day and is a problem today. We react too quickly without thinking through things and relaxing a little bit, as my daughter and I say, everybody needs to just chill. You know, but Paul wrote an awful lot about this, and he wrote about it to the Romans. Now, understand that Rome was a very developed culture in the Roman Empire. So as he writes to the Romans, he writes to them that they needed to change the way that they were thinking, these Christians, because many in Rome were claiming to be Christians, but they were living like Gentiles. They were still practicing like Gentiles and acting like Gentiles. And Paul said, you can't do that. That's not the way it works. If we are truly transformed by the Holy Spirit, we're going to act different. If we act different, that means something inside us changed. So he says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. First, he's saying, I want you to sacrifice the physical, your bodies, to God, as worship to God, you know, physically, in the way you act and what you do. I want you to offer them to God as your spiritual act of worship. Then he goes to the mental part. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because then you'll be able to understand what God's perfect will is, and you'll be able to do that. This is what I really want to talk about this morning. He says, do not conform to the ways of the world. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. This is a major problem in our culture today, as it was in Paul's. Christians were calling themselves Christians, but they were conforming to and following the ways of the world, you see. And Paul says, you can't do that. That's not the way it works. We're not worldly people anymore. In Christ Jesus, we are heavenly, divine, resurrection people. Webster's dictionary defines conform as to be obedient or compliant, to act in accordance with prevailing standards or customs, speaking of the pressure to conform. So what Paul's saying is that as Christians, we have to act in accordance with the word of God and the ways of Jesus, not the ways of the world. And this word that's used here when he says, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, in the Greek language implies having a union with something to the extent that it causes you to act a certain way. So what he's saying here is, don't be in union with the world in a way that it causes you to act like the world acts. He says, don't do that any longer. Don't be in union with the world like that. You need to be in union with Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He's saying that Paul says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. What was Paul saying? When I matured as a Christian, I quit thinking and acting like a Christian. You see, and to quit acting, or I quit thinking and acting like a Gentile. I matured in Christ. And in order to act differently and think differently, our minds have to be changed. So he says, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The King James Version says, be ye transformed. In other words, you be transformed. Paul is really getting on them. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word transform in the Greek language is metamorpho. It's where we get our word metamorphosis from. What is metamorphosis? You know, the butterfly, how it goes and how it works. It's the process of transformation from an immature form to an adult form in two or more distinct stages. I want you to stop and think about this a little bit. Don't conform to the ways of the world, but be transformed through the process of transformation from an immature to an adult form in the stages that you go along. It's a change of the form or nature of a thing or a person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. It's the new you in Christ, you see. You're a new creation, you're resurrection people. And as resurrection people, we're being metamorphosized, I think is the right word, maybe not, into something different. It's sanctification. So when people say, no, I'm okay the way I am, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I like myself the way I am, I say, wow, that's not what God wants you to be. God is constantly working in you and through you and around you. Because we're resurrection people, we're metamorphosis people, we're being changed. In Christianity, it's a two-step process. It happens as resurrection people in this world, as our minds are changed and we start to think differently. As we start to think differently, we start to act differently. That's part of that metamorphosis, you see, that we're different people in the way that we think. And at some point, we're going to shed this earthly body like the larva of the butterfly is in the cocoon and then sheds it and comes out and becomes what it was created to be in the resurrection when we shed our perishable bodies. The Bible says we don't know what we will be, but we know when we see Christ, we'll be like him. because we'll see him like he is. So as resurrection people, we are involved in this metamorphosis of change, and it starts with the changing of our minds that causes a change in our actions, and someday when we die, our bodies will change into resurrection bodies. And Paul says we should not conform to the world, but be transformed by allowing our minds to be part of that process and change. And that transformation comes through the renewing of one's mind, or the renovation of one's mind. Renovation involves restoration. Have you ever restored something old, maybe a building? It means to restore it into a good state of repair. So what Paul is saying, as you conform to Christ, not the world, you become transformed in your thinking, which changes your actions. And this happens by getting your mind in a good state of repair regarding what you know. Stop and think about what you know is what Paul's saying. Stop and think about what you've been taught in Jesus Christ. Do you need to change is what he's questioning them about. Are you really who God wants you to be? Do you know what God wants you to know? Paul was telling the Gentile Christians in Rome they needed to stop following the standards of the world. You know what they are? Wealth, power, control, social status. And they needed to start acting like Christians, and that would only take place when they changed their thinking. Their thinking had to change in order for their actions to change. They couldn't act like God's children until they thought like God's children. In Christ, they were a new creation, new thinking, transformation, metamorphosis. And not until they started thinking like God's children would they know their Father's will and act accordingly. The reason Christians don't act like Christians, because they don't know the Father's will, and they don't know the Father's will because they're not thinking like people filled with the Spirit of the Father. And you see, Paul tells us that when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside us. And then the struggle takes place because we say, no, I don't want to change. I like myself. And the Holy Spirit says, you need to change. You need to change the way you think about things and people and God's word. And we're saying, No. I think Joyce Meyer calls it the battlefield of the mind, the battle that goes on inside our minds, the Holy Spirit trying to convince us of the way we should go and the way we, our bodies and our old selves resist that. See? Christians are supposed to be thinkers. We had a great discussion Tuesday night at Bible study in the book of Psalms. Man, everybody was thinking. It was fun. It was exciting. The scriptures were opening our minds, and we were asking ourselves how the scripture pertained to us today and how it was relevant to us today, and how we struggle like King David, and how we deal with the things that King David dealt with, and how we feel like David, King David felt about God, sometimes thinking that God's forgotten us. We had an awesome discussion because the Holy Spirit was moving in the room there, and we were thinking. I say to people, I'm not here to spoon feed you. I'm not here to tell you something and then you say, yes, this is the way it is. And you go home and think that's the way it is. I'm here to get you to think. And I do it through the Word of God, as we should, because the Word of God is filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God is in you, as Christ is in you, then that Spirit will stimulate you to really think about things when you hear them in the world and when you hear them in church. And I want to say to you, when you hear things in the world and you hear them in church, you do not take them as face value, including my own preaching on Sunday morning. You go and you open up the Word of God and you think about it. You investigate it like the Bereans did. You see, Christians are supposed to be thinkers. We don't just believe what someone tells us. We don't do what someone tells us. We think about the things and we ask ourselves, is this God's will? When Paul was in Thessalonica and his life was being threatened and the false teachers and prophets were following him and the Jews were following him and threatening him, he left and he went south and he went to Berea. And the Bible tells us the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. And what did they do? They examined the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. They were thinking, they were using the minds that God gave them to reason and see if what Paul was saying was really true. And they found out it was. And the church was born there. You see, they were thinkers. And there was the fruit of God's Spirit there. Paul went on down to Athens, Greece on that journey. We read about it in the book of Acts in chapter 17. He went on down to Athens as those chasing him were pursuing him. He moved on down to Athens. As he got down into Athens, he was waiting for his friends, and he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day, which happened to be with those who happened to be there. He reasoned with them. He didn't pressure them. He didn't try and proselytize them. He didn't try and evangelize them. He reasoned with them. He wanted them to think. So he reasoned with these people. There was Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. See, the Epicureans, they believed that happiness was the chief end of humanity. That the goal of humanity is to be happy. I want to ask you folks something. What would our society be like if we had that mindset? If it makes me happy, it's okay, it's good, and I'm going to do it. Think about that, what our society would be like. There were these philosophers that believed that happiness was the chief end of life. Then there were the Stoic philosophers. They emphasized the rational over the emotional. There was no room for emotion in their lives. You were Stoic, and this is the way it was and the way it is, and it's rational, so this is what we believe. Well, Paul was reasoning with them. They took him, they brought him to a meeting at the Areopagus on Mars Hill, we call that. They wanted to know this teaching that he was presenting. You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears. We want to know what they mean. It says, all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. And Paul stood up and he said, let me tell you about this unknown God that you have a statue to. And he shared with them about God and God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. He got them to think, you see. He got them to think. He reasoned with them. Because we're supposed to be thinkers. We're supposed to use the mind that God has given us. So how can we know? How can we know God's will? How can we use our minds? Well, first and foremost, we turn to God's word. And as we turn to God's word, we piece together a picture of God's will as we discern truth. You can go here and find answers to every question that you have in life. It is in here. And the more you turn here and the more you read here, the more you start to hear God and understand God and understand God's ways and understand truth, because it's here. And the more that you do, the Holy Spirit that lives in you will bring this to fruition, you see, inside you, because the Holy Spirit does not contradict this. The Holy Spirit does not contradict this, does not contradict the Word of God. So we can use this to discern God's will in our own lives. And we can use this to discern what we're hearing, what's going on in the culture, what we're being taught, to see if it's really God's will, God's perfect will, as Paul told the Romans. We can use this to tell us, see. So I want to finish this morning by asking you some questions. I want you to think. And I know we don't like to think, do we? Thinking's hard. Thinking's work. We don't like to think because we don't understand sometimes. You know, folks, it's not about being intelligent. It's not about having certain knowledge. That was Gnosticism that Paul fought in his day. It's not about that. It's about being willing to open your mind and just think a little bit. Because when we do, God fills us with truth. So I want you to think about something. What happens to a building if you don't do renovation work on it? If you don't work to keep it in good repair, what happens to the building? The building soon starts to become in decay, and it soon starts to rot, and insects infest it, and it loses its strength, and it loses its integrity, and sooner or later it falls to the ground flat, doesn't it? And you have nothing, you see. What happens to a vehicle if you don't do some renovating, some restoration, some renewing? Rust starts to set in. The tires become bald. And the first thing you know, you're skidding off the road, having an accident. If you don't change oil or put oil in it at all, sooner or later the engine quits running. What happens to our gardens if we don't do some renovating work to keep it in good repair? The weeds grow up. The ground's worthless. Nothing will grow. And it's the same way with our minds. If the seed of the Holy Spirit is going to grow in our minds, we need to do some weeding. We're going to keep the rust out of there so that, you know, we're strong and we're together and we're running properly. We need to do some renovation. If we want to keep it standing strong and firm in our faith, we need to renew our minds and not think like we did, not think in the old ways. You know, if you think 1940s, what are you going to get? You're going to get 1940s. You know, and I know people say, well, they were the good old days. Yeah, that can be true in some ways. But we don't step in the same river twice. The river keeps flowing. And if we're not in some way renewing our minds, we're going to be lost. We're going to be swept up in all that, blown by every wave of deception. The Church of Jesus Christ, folks, is a renovation project. God works, we work, God speaks, we listen, and we think as God speaks to us. And we're changed deep inside, not superficially, to the extent that our actions change. Not just for the sake of change, but because it's God's will for the church to display his righteousness. None of you here, sitting here today, are the same people that I saw 12 years ago when I came here. We have all been together changing on this journey that we call life. The Holy Spirit has been changing us, teaching us, helping us to flow and to live out our lives as God would want us to. It's called sanctification, by the way, the fancy word for it. And we don't change just for the sake of change. We change because we say, change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. God's changing us into the likeness of himself so that we can reflect the glory of God to the whole world. We're not only to act differently, we're to think differently. And because we think differently, we act differently. And as a result, we act more like God wants us to act as his children. The more we know, the more we realize we really don't know anything. My wife often says to me, gosh, she says, I don't know if I even want to study the Bible anymore, because the more I study it, the more I realize I don't know anything about it. And that's really the beauty of the Bible, because it carries us along. It carries us along from strength to strength as it changes us and renews our thinking, reflects the glory of God. Let's pray.